A rural Pennsylvania minister sits weeping over a magazine photograph of seven teenage gang members on trial for murder. The eyes of one boy, filled with bewilderment and despair, won't release him. This wasn't David Wilkerson's plan. He had a comfortable congregation, a predictable life, but something deeper than logic pulled him toward New York's most violent neighborhoods with nothing but $75 and an inexplicable conviction. What followed became one of the most remarkable stories of transformation in modern history, a journey that would prove how faith and compassion can penetrate even the hardest hearts. This isn't just a story about religion saving gang members. It's about what happens when someone risks everything to see humanity where others see only monsters. Wilkerson's first attempt to reach the imprisoned gang members ended in spectacular failure. Rushing toward the judge mid-trial with his Bible, he was seized by guards and ejected while photographers captured his humiliation. Driving back across the George Washington Bridge in tears, he wondered how he'd explain this disaster to his congregation. But failure opened doors success never could. Days later, teenagers recognized him immediately. "Hey, Davey, preacher!" His photo had appeared in newspapers as the preacher kicked out of the Michael Farmer trial. That confrontation with authority earned him instant street credibility. "You're one of us," they explained. The police disliked both them and Wilkerson. His greatest mistake became his greatest asset. The teens didn't trust polished presentations or official credentials. They trusted someone who'd been thrown out, just like them. Through these connections, Wilkerson entered a world most New Yorkers never saw: systematic warfare, sexual exploitation, and a sophisticated drug trade generating millions while destroying children. Dealers positioned near schools with calculated precision, offering free samples and targeting the vulnerable. 1 kilogram of heroin, purchased for $3,000 in Beirut, generated $300,000 on New York streets, or $1 million during orchestrated shortages. The human cost was devastating. Hospitals routinely turned away addicts. To support a $25 daily habit, teenagers stole $75 worth of goods, contributing to $200 million in annual citywide thefts. Each addict often became a dealer, recruiting more users. Meanwhile, the city's vast transportation network, 12,000 ships, 18,000 airplane arrivals annually, overwhelmed the mere 265 customs agents. These young people's dreams were heartbreakingly modest: a fashionable hat while lacking a winter coat, crossing the Brooklyn Bridge, a journey many never attempted, confined by invisible boundaries of gang territories and fear. After months navigating dangerous streets, Wilkerson tested his faith-driven vision at Fort Greene Projects, 30,000 residents terrorized by two warring gangs who dropped sandbags from rooftops onto police cars. Arriving before dawn with Jimmy, a trumpet player, Wilkerson set up an American flag and wooden piano stool as his pulpit. The hostile crowd hurled insults and mockery. Then an eerie silence descended. Wilkerson passionately shared that God loved them exactly as they were, their tattoos, their violence, their struggles, but also saw their potential for transformation. When met with stony silence, he made an impromptu challenge. "If you are so big and tough, you won't mind shaking hands with a skinny preacher." To everyone's amazement, Buckboard, the imposing president of the chaplains, stepped forward, followed by his vice president and two warlords. But Nikki Cruz's response would become legendary. With cold eyes reflecting years of violence, Nikki issued a chilling threat: "You come near me, preacher, and I'll kill you." This frightening confrontation would prove providential. Both Nikki and Israel would undergo dramatic transformations that made them living testimonies. Sometimes the people who threaten us most fiercely are the ones fighting hardest against the transformation they secretly long for. After dramatic street conversions, Wilkerson felt called to establish a permanent presence. During intense prayer, he received a clear impression. Investigate Clinton Avenue in Brooklyn. There stood a once magnificent Georgian mansion, abandoned for 2 years and filled with refuse, with a $42,000 price tag requiring $12,000 down. During a routine Sunday service, without mentioning the specific need, the spontaneous offering reached exactly $4,400. Additional gifts from a Bethpage congregation and another church's unexpected blank check brought the total to exactly $12,200 within 1 month. The cleanup required 6 industrial garbage trucks and tireless volunteer work that revealed hidden rooms beneath the debris. The renovated center would house 20 dedicated workers, spending mornings in prayer and study, then afternoons and evenings in street outreach. Finding 20 people willing to risk their safety for $10 weekly seemed impossible, but Wilkerson's presentation at Central Bible College resulted in 70 eager volunteers, many willing to defer promising careers. New York had over 30,000 drug addicts, including 4,000 teenagers. Traditional withdrawal was brutal. Sweating, chills, vomiting, hallucinations, nerve pain lasting 3 days. Even with professional help, 85 to 90% relapsed. After several failures, Wilkerson interviewed dozens who'd overcome addiction. Everyone credited the baptism of the Holy Spirit as their turning point. Luis, Roberto, Harvey, Johnny, with addictions ranging from 2 to 15 years, all experienced complete freedom after baptism. Physical cravings vanished and their personalities transformed. Even relapses revealed something remarkable. Ralph, clean for over a year before using again, found heroin made him physically ill instead of euphoric. "I think I'm trapped," he told Wilkerson, "but not by heroin. I'm trapped by the Holy Spirit." Teen Challenge's success rate exceeded 70%, remaining drug-free after 5 years, compared to 15 to 25% for traditional methods. Medical professionals began studying this unprecedented spiritual approach to recovery. By summer's end, Teen Challenge had helped 2,500 young people on $50,000 annually, often with just dollars in the bank. Yet provision arrived miraculously. A $15,000 check preventing foreclosure, anonymous donations, crucial supplies from local businesses. From Brooklyn, Teen Challenge spread to Chicago, Philadelphia, Boston, Los Angeles, and Toronto throughout the 1960s. Today, it operates over 1,400 centers in 129 countries, with success rates of 70 to 86% for graduates remaining drug-free. The guiding principle remains constant: the Holy Spirit is in charge. What began as a courtroom fiasco became a global movement. Former gang members become counselors, addicts become ministers, broken families find restoration. The program's success lies not in sophisticated protocols, but in spiritual transformation and personal discipleship. In a world that medicalizes every problem and seeks pharmaceutical solutions for spiritual emptiness, this story reminds us that transformation requires more than treatment plans. The teenagers didn't need another program. They needed someone who saw them as human beings worth saving. They needed love powerful enough to risk rejection, faith strong enough to look foolish, and compassion deep enough to enter their world without judgment.